How does God measure success? Young people, what do you think? How does God measure success? What do you guys think? How does God measure success? Nobody? Does he measure success by how much you make? No? Does he measure success by how famous you become? Does he measure success by how many people you impact or are following you or what have you? How about by the number of friends you have? How does he measure success? That's a great answer. By your love. I have a feeling this is going to become the message. God does measure success by your love. You're right. And that leads to some things. Now, why by your love? Love is the character of God, and we are here to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? So, if I'm successful, that means I'm successfully being conformed to the image of His Son. That's Romans 8:29. Now, this is huge. Sometimes people underestimate it. But this is huge. We must allow God to conform us to the image of His Son. One of the things that we think to ourselves sometimes is that if I'm going to be conformed to the image of His Son, it's going to be through hard things. That is not true. God will use difficult things, yes. For example, in Romans 5:3-5, where tribulation works patience, patience works experience. Does anybody know the rest of this? Experience produces hope. Hope is not a wishful thought. What is hope? Hope is a confident expectation. So, it's not, oh, I hope it happens. This is happening. And I have hope, I have confident expectation because I already have experience to know this is happening. Seen it happen before. I can have experience to know this is happening because I have patience already worked into me, and it's the patience that bought me the time to see it happen, to get the experience. Sometimes people lose patience, which is a shame because they're losing the first characteristic of the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13:4. And by losing patience, I don't give God time to do things for me. And then once you have hope, what happens next? Does anybody remember? Once I have hope, God sheds His love abroad in my heart. Abroad simply means from Himself to myself. So God takes His love and plants it in my heart. Now, that is one way that God uses to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is by far not the only way. God's preferred way of conforming us to the image of His Son is not through hardship. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, I have a difficult relationship, I have a difficult circumstance, difficult job, and God's going to conform me to the image of His Son because it's difficult. God will use it, absolutely. But that's not His preferred method. Does anybody know His preferred method? It involves two things. The first thing is humility. If I have humility, it's very easy for God to conform me to the image of His Son. Because in humility, I will yield to the Word of God. That's the definition of humility. Some people think that humility is when I don't think that I'm all that. when I see myself as less than. That's nothing to do with humility. As a matter of fact, that's a type of pride. And the reason why it's a type of pride is because it's contrary to what God says about us. And if I'm elevating my opinion of myself against what God says about me, even though the opinion that I may have of myself is negative, that's not humility, that's pride. Because I'm elevating my opinion above what God says. That, by definition, is pride. Humility is when I yield to the Word of God. I hear it, I receive it, I apply to it, I submit to it. I obey it. There's two things that we need as far as that part goes. We need faith obedience, and faith obedience will produce faith rest. In other words, I obey God by faith, and when I do, He gives me this inner rest, this inner peace, because I've obeyed Him by faith. It does come in that order. Faith obedience always precedes faith rest. It's not the other way around. Once in a while, I'll talk to somebody and they think it's the other way around. They insist that it has to be the other way around. How can I have faith obedience if I don't have faith rest? How can you have faith rest if you don't have faith obedience? I mean, really, come on, think about it. How do I have peace in my heart if I'm not yielding and then submitting to God and to the Word of God? To me, that would produce anxiety. If I know that I'm not right with God, how am I going to have any sort of peace at all? If the Holy Spirit is trying to convict me about my life, how am I going to have any kind of peace at all? And often people do have problems in their life because they don't have faith obedience. They have belief. They believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, but they don't trust it to the point of obeying it. They say to themselves, grace, therefore I don't have to obey. But they don't know that grace is actually a government in Hebrews 4:16. And if grace is a government, then absolutely I have to obey. Yes, it's a word of grace. Yes, I'm obeying one who is extraordinarily kind. I'm not obeying in as much as, oh, this is going to be brutal, you got to do it anyway. I'm obeying as in applying the Word of God. I take it, I receive it, and I actually apply it. I use it. I yield to it. I submit to it. I do whatever it is telling me to do. When you have that, then you will have faith rest. If you don't have that, faith rest will never come. So, I do need humility in order to obey the Word of God. The second thing I need in Hebrews 4:2 is to mix faith with what I hear. If I don't mix faith with what I hear, I won't obey it. Humility is not a natural condition in us. Our natural condition, because we have an old sin nature, is to elevate ourselves above God, elevate our opinion, our moods, our thoughts, our emotions, our desires above God. It happens all the time, even among Christians. That has bad results. Mixing faith with what you hear means that you trust it to such a degree that as soon as you hear it, you trust it. The moment you hear the Word of God, you don't question the Word of God. You don't wonder about it. You don't say, okay, do I or don't I apply it? You don't say, is this the Word of God? No. The moment you hear the Word of God, you trust it entirely. The picture there is that two things combine into something that's not separable. They're not the same thing. Like in Romans 5:8, where we become one with the love of God. God commends His love toward us. That word commends means we become one with the love of God. This is a different word. This word means that faith is mixed, literally mixed. If you put milk in coffee or cream in coffee, and you stir it up, you're not going to separate the cream from the coffee. Unless you're a chemist in the laboratory, you're not going to be separating the cream from the coffee. So that's the picture of mixing faith, to the point where they're two separate things, but they're not separable. You can't get them apart. So the moment that I hear the Word of God, I completely trust it as the Word of God. In order to do that, in Galatians 5:6, I have to trust the love of God for me, because only through the love of God will I not be afraid to trust the Word of God. Remember, our natural condition is to be self-centered, self-oriented. However, self-orientation will take you out of faith. Self-orientation will also prevent you from getting to know God. It's one of the most devastating things that people commonly live in, is self-orientation. Watch out for it. It may seem right to you, but it's poison. It's like smoking cigarettes. People think, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to look good. Honestly, even when I was a kid, it seemed stupid. When I was going to school as a kid, I used to walk to school, and there was this corner with a big wooden kind of ranch-style fence there. And all these kids would sit in the fence, and they would be smoking their cigarettes. This was in junior high. They'd be smoking their cigarettes, and it stunk so bad. I used to kind of like cross the street and go around the other corner because it stunk so bad. And I was looking at these guys, and then they get them to school, and they stink like cigarettes. I mean, honestly, it's like stepping in dog stuff and smelling it all day. It's awful. Oh, I'm so cool. I stink. I mean, honestly, I could never figure that out, even as a kid, right? It was so bad. It's like, okay, what's so cool about that? And then you give yourself cancer to boot. But that's the whole issue, right? Cigarettes will give you stuff like cancer and emphysema. You won't be able to breathe, and you're going to die of cancer. Isn't that amazing? That's like self-orientation. You won't be able to have a spiritual breath, and you're going to die of spiritual cancer. That's self-orientation. That's why Satan introduced it. Remember, if Satan introduced it, it's not good for you. Satan introduces self-orientation to people. It's not good for you. It's devastating to you. But people are self-oriented. That's the old sin nature. People are self-oriented. Unless they get into God orientation. How? Humility and mixing faith with the Word of God. If I'm in self-orientation, I will have no capacity to live with God. I will think that I do, because maybe I even listen to His Word, maybe I go to church, maybe even I get involved in church. But I have no capacity to live with God. Why? The only way to live with God is through the cross in Galatians 2:20, and the only way to the cross is not through self-orientation, but to get rid of self-orientation. It's a decision. It's a choice people make. But because it's an easy choice to be self-oriented, most people, including most Christians, make that choice. You can't get out of it by yourself. You get out of it through the Word of God, mixing faith with what you hear so that it builds you. Okay, once you have humility, and once you are yielding to the Word of God by mixing faith, that changes who you are. The reason for that is because your thinking is based on what you accept as truth. That's one of the problems with self-orientation. It accepts a lie as truth. And because people accept the lie as truth, they're blinded to the truth by the lie. So it's very difficult for a self-oriented person to get out of self-orientation just by willing it. You can't will it. You actually have to humble yourself, mix faith with what you hear, and in order to mix faith with what you hear, you have to be faithful to hear. If you're faithful to hear, then you can mix faith through humility, and it starts to conform you to His image. Now, you don't have to try to be conformed to the image of Christ. Sometimes people get very religious because they're trying to conform themselves to the image of Christ. You cannot, you don't have the ability to conform yourself to the image of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit has the ability to conform you to the image of Christ. And He does that by taking the Word of God and building a new pattern of thinking. It's not something you strive for. It's not something you try to do. You develop good habits toward the Word of God. God will take what you receive from the Word of God and He'll cause you to think with it. As it becomes your basis of thinking, that's what we call the frame of reference or the heart. When the Bible speaks of the heart, for example, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's talking about your frame of reference, the basis of your thinking. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Let's say you have a little kid. Maybe the kid's 2, 3, 4 years old. And the kid's mom says, don't play in the street, you can get hurt. Now the kid has information. And that information, because it came from mom, is trusted. It's good information, and the kid knows it. So the kid sees a street, and the child says to himself, no, I can't play in the street. Mom said I can't. And they even understand why. I can get hurt in the street, so they stay away from the street. And they play in the yard instead. That's the foundation of their thinking. What mom told them. Don't play in the street, you can get hurt. Okay, that's the foundation. The street is a dangerous place to play. And the kid stays away from it. When I was a little kid, I still remember this, I was about 6 years old. My mom told me, if anybody tries to give you like any candy or anything, get away from them. It's kind of sick that that would have to happen anymore, even then, right? But that's just the way the world is. And so there were these kids, I was about 6 years old riding my bike, and I guess they were maybe 10, 12 years old, and they said, hey little boy, you want some candy? And man, I heard what my mom said, it came back to me instantly. I started pedaling like a crazy person. I got away from them as fast as I could. Why? Foundation of thinking. Mom said it, that must be reality. Mom said it, that's reality. Somebody tries to offer you candy, get away from them. That's foundation of thinking. And you just do it. It's like that with the Word of God. You receive the Word of God, you mix faith with what You receive the Word of God, you mix faith with what you hear, and it becomes the foundation of your thinking. And then everything else is evaluated or compared to that foundation. That foundation tells you what's real, what isn't real, what's truth, what isn't truth, what to trust, what not to trust, and so on. That foundation is everything. It determines who you become. Because all your thoughts and your choices, your emotions, everything about you, your self-image, it's all based on that foundation of thinking. Once you have the right foundation of thinking, then you have the right thoughts, you have the right emotions, you have the right choices, you have the right self-image. Everything about you becomes right. And you're conformed to the image of Christ. Now, how does that lead to success? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul said you cannot lay another foundation than that which has been laid. Wow. You lay the right foundation and that's the foundation you're going to keep. Can you change the foundation? Yes, you can. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit will change your foundation, but you can't change it on your own. And we just talked about how He changes it. There is no other real foundation. There's nothing else that can sustain you. Sometimes people think that they can lay a foundation that's something other than just the Word of God, or they can add something to the Word of God and that it'll keep them going just as good as the Word of God can. That doesn't work. If you've ever been to Yellowstone, which if you haven't, I really recommend it. Its place is amazing. If you've ever been to Yellowstone, there's this one area where they have all these volcanic geysers. Like little tiny volcanoes. And there's a walkway, a boardwalk, through that area. And if you stay on the boardwalk, you're safe. Because they know where you can step. The problem is, in that area, the ground is not thick, but it looks normal. And if you step off the boardwalk, it's very possible, and it happens every year, usually to animals, but sometimes to people, that they'll step in the wrong area and they'll break through the ground. And they literally fall into a volcano. If you're on the boardwalk, they've figured out where all the good spots of ground are, where it's reliable, it's trustworthy to hold you up, no problem. You stay on the boardwalk, you're safe. Nothing can happen to you. You get off the boardwalk and it's anybody's guess. Now, it's a very cool place. I've been there. It's a very cool place. But at the same time, you realize, wow, you better stay on that boardwalk. Because you've got all this volcanic smoke coming up. And actually, it's not volcanic smoke. You got all this steam from the hot water from the volcano underneath coming up. And you realize you don't want to get off the boardwalk. But like a buffalo or something, they don't know. And so they'll step on it and go right through. You see, that's the wrong foundation. That's how it works. If you think you can have a foundation that's based in self-orientation, it's like going off on the wrong spot in Yellowstone and going right through. It can't hold you up. And the results can be really bad. The Word of God is that right foundation. So when you have the right foundation, that's the only one, Paul is saying, that's going to work for you. And then he continues in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work will be made manifest. It's going to reveal itself. Because it will be tested by fire. Now, by fire doesn't mean flames, like hell flames. Nothing like that. By fire, it means it will be strongly tested. Your foundation will be tested. That doesn't necessarily mean negative things as we consider them to be negative. Your foundation is going to be tested often by challenges that make you decide certain things. Now, it's easy to see how a foundation can be tested through trials and tribulations. Okay, do you stay faithful in the difficult times? But there's a stronger test than that. Success in a worldly sense is the most difficult test there is. For example, a lot of money. There's a ton of people who won a lot of money in the lottery and they said it destroyed their life because they didn't have a good foundation. That test revealed what their foundation was. Now, gold, silver, precious stones are not literal gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold in the Bible speaks of faith. Silver in the Bible speaks of redemption. Precious stones speak of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, if you have faith, you live in faith, you live in redemption, That one is a little confusing to people sometimes. Living in redemption is things like accepting God's mercy for your life or also giving mercy. Accepting forgiveness or giving forgiveness. Accepting kindness or giving kindness. It can also mean the things that reconcile you to Christ or reconcile other people to Christ. For example, if you are someone who shares the gospel with someone, you are practicing silver, redemption. Now, when it says gold, silver, precious stones being the fruit of the Spirit, is what you said, Gracie, it boils back down to love. Now, those things are not in order of importance. It's not saying that gold is first because it's more valuable than silver, and silver is second, not third, because it's more valuable than precious stones. It's not what it's saying. They are all three different. They're all three equally valuable, and usually you live in all three at the same time. You live, for example, in redemption because of faith, and you have faith because of the love of God. You're living in all three at the same time. So, if you want to be successful, then you're going to live in faith, you're going to live in redemption, and you're going to do it through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, through love. When you have that going on, you are successful, but also when you have that going on, you are conformed to the image of Christ. It's only the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that can do it for you, through humility. So you don't try to conform yourself. You don't try to be successful. You do those things which make you successful. In other words, you practice humility by choice. Remember, everything is by choice. You practice humility by choice. You submit to the Word of God by choice. You receive the Word of God by choice. You trust it by choice. And that will make you very successful with God. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."